shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is inaccurate to state that the United States...
Hosni Mubarak, Phil, they are the whole people in...
...research that supports the fact that this is just going to make the child...
If you want to go even further into the deep, you are welcome to, but it may be dangerous to the health of your...
smell.
Oh, that's rude.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go through the looking glass to places other talk shows wish they could go, but they, well, they can't. Would you like a Super Bowl ticket? Well, you'll have to pony up nearly $5,000. Do you want a Super Bowl commercial? How about $3 million? And it's the News Hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard here, 877-876-7445. The Phil Hendry Show website is philhendryshow.com. We have podcasts of each and every show. So tomorrow on iTunes, you get this show and others. Also, live video feeds of every one of us yelling at each other and screaming at each other and talking about how much we hate each other because it's uncensored and you can see it behind the scenes. And that's always exciting to see people enjoying their work. And then...
You get mad, I love it.
Yeah, I bet you do. And then, of course, we have the affiliate list there. So check it out. Get a backstage pass, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And now, in its first year since our redesign and relaunch of our website, and I think you have a lot of fun with it, and we think it's the greatest value in entertainment today. All right. So Robert and Bud, along with me here. We are going to talk Super Bowl, not a lot tonight, but we'll get into at least the price of tickets. But the big story here, and I say big story because everybody's talking about this, and when I say everybody's talking about it.
Yeah, everybody on Twitter talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, because I saw one of the guys back east say, remember, when you're in New York, the only thing you talk about is New York weather. Well, that's all they do talk about. But the fact is, in the Midwest and Chicago... and other places, and I talked, I got an email from my cousins in Toronto, Canada tonight, and they're digging out of it. Everybody's digging out of the snow, man. And Chicago, a city that usually sneers at winter, was brought to a near standstill on Wednesday by a blizzard with the third highest snowfall in the city's history. Chicago public schools, which hadn't closed since 1999, were shut on Wednesday, and officials were trying to decide whether to close them Thursday. Courts were closed. 5 suburban commuter rail lines were down.
What? I don't understand why everything closed. Why?
Because they can't make... The roads are not passable, man. You understand? Sometimes the roads are not passable, and...
What do you mean passable?
They can't travel on them.
Yeah, what about a snowplow and everything?
Look, Bud, you know, it's just... It's nuts, okay? Look, a city the size of Chicago, with all of those people...
Yeah.
They got to plow the roads, then get all of those millions and millions of people going where they need to get going to. And it's after you get everything done, roads plowed, you know, cars unfrozen, this and that. You're never going to make it to work. It's not even sensible to get the kids to school. That's why they close things down. It really is, you know, difficult.
Yeah, but I mean, it seemed to make people out weather beat them, man.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about. We've been having snow ever since the beginning of man when mankind come here. Then why? How come we can't figure it out?
Since mankind come here?
Yeah.
Where'd we come from?
Well, they say that we were seeded by the aliens and everything, but I don't know.
Oh, man, you don't believe that, do you?
I don't know, but
Ever since mankind come to here, so you don't think we evolved on this planet, we might have been seeded.
There is that discussion going on currently, yes.
Uh-huh. Among who? You and your friends?
Yeah, man, I'm talking about, like, stuff he heard on prison planet, man? You know that guy?
Yeah, sometimes I listen to him.
Oh, well, you're high, man. You're high on methane. There ain't no man got seated. But you do make one good point. We've been dealing with snow ever since the damn Ice Age. Now, that's when mankind... Really, you know, when the hominid that we are, the upright walking hominid that we are, that was something we had to deal with. You know, the beginning of our farming and our laying down of roots was about 10,000 years ago, and that was the end of the last ice age. So the ice age was something that caused humanity and all animal life on this planet to adjust radically the way it was living. And once the ice age went away, once everything melted, you know.
What, they must have had some floods, huh?
Yeah, they probably had floods, but they didn't have no towns or anything, man. Nothing was going to get flooded. What do you mean floods?
Well, I mean, everything was melting.
Well, everything melted into the ocean is what it did. That's why we have oceans. You know, that's why we got the oceans, see?
What do you mean?
Well, we got oceans, man. A lot of the reason why the ocean looks the way it does and the landmass on Earth looks the way it does is because the ice melted and that's what's left.
Well, I don't understand. You said that the people walked from Asia.
Yes, they walked from Asia when there was a land bridge, and then when the ice melted and all the water took over, there ain't no land bridge any. Do you know that between France and England, that was all land, that was dry land?
What?
It was dry land. It wasn't dry land. It was a marsh, but there was no English Channel. Okay, there was no English Channel.
Huh?
There wasn't any English Channel. What do I got to say it 50 times? There was no English Channel.
Well, what was that from? On account of no ice age?
Because there wasn't water that had filled up that English Channel. It was like a marshy, okay?
I don't know who that is.
It ain't a who. It's marshy as marshland, like a swamp. And it's very possible that the cliffs of Dover and those English cliffs, that's where a lot of, they think a lot of the early hunters, the hunter-gatherers, would stand there on those cliffs, and they could see the herds coming in from the continent, the European continent, the herds coming across the marshland, and they would be able to track the herds and go down and slay the buffalo and all of that jazz in those marshes, see? So,
man, I don't know, man. What they got photographs of that, I don't know.
Well, they don't have no photographs of it, man, but there is ample archaeologic and geologic evidence. Thank you very much. Let me finish this story. Lakeshore Drive, the city's main... Look at this, man. I went off 5 minutes about marshland and the English Channel. I'm trying to talk about the weather here. Lakeshore Drive, the city's main north-south thoroughfare, was shut down and littered with over 200 abandoned cars. Side street... Look at that, bud. People just got out of their cars and left them there.
What? I don't understand that.
They got out of... They couldn't move them. Side streets were impassable. Even plowed arterial streets and highways were eerily empty. John Pazenzi, who is a maintenance worker at a Chicago church, said this is pretty unbelievable. He was out with a snowblower clearing a path Wednesday morning, snow clinging to his mustache and eyebrows. I was around in 67, but this is really crazy. What was he referring to? Well, the highest snowfall on record in Chicago was in January of 1967 with 27 inches, followed by January of 1999 with 21.6 inches. Now, how many inches have they had at this one? The 2011 blizzard's total so far has been 20.2 inches, so it's not yet reached the level of January, but I'm sure it will. That was at O'Hare Airport as of 12 p.m. yesterday. According to the National Weather Service, the sun came out in the afternoon. Mr. Pazenzi, who's also a suburban firefighter, helped emergency workers deliver a baby in an ambulance Tuesday night. A snowplow had to precede the ambulance to the hospital. People spotted on the street have been either emergency workers, snow shovelers. It's crazy, man. You know, my parents come from, you know, many of us in California are the sons and the daughters and the grandsons and the granddaughters of people who traveled here from back east. Like, where are your people from, Robert?
South Carolina.
South Carolina, okay. And, Bud, you're from here?
Yeah, they come from Oildale.
From Oildale, Bakersfield?
Yeah.
They didn't come from Oklahoma?
Uh-uh. They were here a long time, way before that.
Well, here's the deal. My folks are from Toronto, Canada, you know, and my family, my cousins are still back there. So, and I had a great phone conversation with my cousin Franny on...
What's her name, Franny? What kind of name is that?
That's her name. Don't go... So, I was talking to her on Sunday, and I remember saying to my mom, you know, when she was alive, I said, because my father had died and my mother was older and her sister lives in Toronto. And I said, don't you want to go back to Canada? And she looked at me like I was stark raving mad. She said, I'll never go back to that. Are you out of your mind? She goes, I will never, ever go back to that snow. So the people had left and came out west, obviously, you know.
They couldn't take it. A lot of people back there are way tougher than them.
What do you mean way tougher? I mean, yeah, they're tough, but do you think maybe the folks that moved out here were smarter? What do you think about that?
Well, how smart you gonna be if you can't find a job or nothing?
Well, back then you could. Not now. Now's a bad time to move to California. Now's about the worst time you could possibly move to California. But back then, that was the thing to do. So anyway, she looked at me like I'd flipped my lid, man. She's like, you think I'm going to go back to that? I wouldn't go back to that for love or money. And the stories of people slipping on their ass and busting their ass on the ice. And
you're talking about when you lived in it.
I lived in it very briefly. And I know that I'm talking, you know, I must sound ridiculous to people listening to our show tonight in very snowed in environs, such as the gentleman that called from Buffalo and the people that called from Chicago and so on. For a, what the hell is that, man? That looked like a giant rabbit. For a guy from the West Coast to be living in all of that, you know, in to be living in all of that snow was insane. And so when I left the studio one night, and it was the very first snowfall of my life living in snow, and I was in my 40s already. I was living in Minneapolis working at CCO. And I walked out of the studio, and I went to get my car, and I got in my car, and I thought, this is, I mean, I've never driven in this before. Well, I got a four-wheel drive truck, so what the hell? And I got out on that stuff, man, and I'm telling you, I just slid, you know, for like half the block.
You probably put the brakes on and everything.
I did. I mean, I'm like, oh, it's a red light. You know. I mean, there wasn't any. I was just sliding on this thing. Thank God it was so late at night, there wasn't any traffic on the freeway at all. Not any traffic at all, man. All right, we're going to come back here. The Alaska mom who forced her kid to take cold showers and drink hot sauce as punishment, well, she's going to sue, man. She's going to sue Dr. Phil because she looks like a, you know, a real horse's ass. So let's find out what happened there. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com, and those shot glasses, man, our brand new shot glass coming very, very soon to our merchandise store.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. So all's well that ends well, but cold weather, no. Mm-mm. Not me, man, you know.
Yeah, you said you got out of there pretty fast, huh?
It ain't that I don't like, it's not that I didn't like Minneapolis. It ain't that I didn't like the people. I just couldn't, I admit, I'm not tough enough, you know. That's the way they want to put it. I'm fine with that. I ain't tough enough, you know. I can't live in that, you know. All right, here is a lady that is in Alaska, which I imagine that gets cold too, but this is not about Alaska. In fact, what's the weather like in Alaska right now?
Let me look it up on my iPhone.
Yeah, you do that.
Man, he just got an iPhone and look at all that weather and everything.
Yeah, you find out what it is. Aren't they getting any cold weather there in Alaska? Don't they have that Alaska flow coming down and freezing everybody's ass in the Midwest? Isn't that why it gets cold in the Midwest? Because they have the Alaska air? 34 degrees in Anchorage and it's raining. Wow.
Man, it must be like, if that's in Anchorage, Alaska, and this is January, they'll never see the sun. It's never going to be out.
Well, yeah, it's going to come out sooner or later.
Yeah, but not now, not today. They probably haven't seen sun in days. The way I got it figured.
How do you know, man?
Because this is a winter time.
Well, I know that, but what do you mean they haven't seen it in days? How often does the sun come out in Alaska these days? When it's in January? What?
No, it'll come out for like an hour.
No, it doesn't.
It'll be sunny on Friday, says the weatherman. But what does that mean? It just means the skies are clear?
Yeah, they'll see the moon.
Sunny on Friday, that means you'll see the moon in Alaska. Well, we have a great affiliate there in Anchorage. I think we got a couple of Alaska affiliates. Clear skies and sunny in Alaska, but 24 degrees. That ain't bad. 24 degrees, man. That beats the hell out of like 85 below or something. I mean, you figure this is January in Alaska. I mean, that's up near the freaking North Pole, man. How could it possibly be 24 degrees? That's amazing.
On account of global warming.
Global warming.
Get out of here.
You know something, man? I ain't buying into that. Anyway, Utah relatives say Alaska hot sauce mom getting a bad rap. Well, let's find out, shall we? From her Dr. Phil appearance, the Utah family is saying that this lady got hosed, if you'll pardon the expression, by Dr. Phil. Well, who hasn't? Video of Alaska mom Jessica Beegley using hot sauce and a cold shower and a cattle prod and a gas oven. No, I'm kidding. Just a hot shower and a cold shower and hot sauce.
You want to be a hot chair and a cold sauce?
Yeah, that's real funny. And to punish her 7-year-old adoptive son is all over the internet, garnering over 1 million hits. And you heard my outraged reaction last week on this show when I heard that woman and that kid being, you know, that was terrible.
That is a threat.
That was me last Friday. Anyway, last week, Beegley, who submitted home video footage to show in an effort to get help in disciplining her child. Yeah, sure, lady, you wanted to be famous. You could tell your friends you're on Dr. Phil, and you got a trip to wherever the hell he does his show in, which was probably really exotic. Where does he do his show?
Like Cincinnati.
So you got a trip to Cincinnati. Where does he do his show? New York?
I don't know.
Last week, Beegley submitted this video. She pled not guilty to a child abuse charge after footage from the show showed her forcing her 7-year-old son to drink peppery hot sauce after he misbehaved. Beegley and her husband, a police officer, adopted the little boy shown in the video from Russia. God, that poor baby. I'm telling you, I don't care, man. When you hear a child screaming, like that, I don't give a damn what. I mean, kids will scream if they see a bug, you know?
Yeah, if they see, like, a mouse or something.
If they see a mouse. Well, they'll scream, but then they go to you for comfort. They go, oh, you know, some kids will scream. Little kids. Kids will scream when they're scared. Kids will scream, you know. But for that child to be screaming and you're the source of it, what you're doing to that child is the source of it, I couldn't, I'm sorry, you know. Anyway, family members now are coming to the aid of this Beegley. These family members, they live in Utah, and they said the media, naturally, is not giving out the whole story, which probably it isn't. Yeah, I mean, that's the media. But how much of the story do I need to hear, man? You can hear this baby. Where is this man? Here is the kid in this video shot by the family member and aired on Dr. Phil. Jessica Beegley scolds her 7-year-old child. And now I'm going to tell you, some of this stuff's kind of hard to hear.
Why did you tell me you did not pull a card when you pulled 3? Why did
She's talking about pulling a card. You got disciplined at school.
Why did you tell me you did not pull a card when you pulled 3?
Because you're fat and ugly, Mom, because I hate you.
You didn't want to get in trouble. Does it work to lie to me? What happens when you lie to me?
I get hot sauce.
You get hot sauce. What else happens when you lie to me?
I get a water.
Do you get in more trouble for lying to me?
What a bitch. Here is cut 2. We might as well play this. The boy gets tossed into a cold shower. Now this, I couldn't listen to all of this. This is how pissed off and disturbed I got when I played this last week. But I'll go ahead and I'll play the whole thing through, so that we can all revel in what a great mom this lady is and how she's getting a bad rap from the media.
What is the consequence for pulling a car?
Cold shower.
A cold shower. Get undressed right now. Kristoff, why are you getting a cold shower?
Because I pulled 3 cars.
You pulled 3 cars today. That's unacceptable behavior. You are to do what you are told. You are supposed to listen to your teacher, and when you are told to stop, you stop. Do you understand what I am telling you?
Yes.
Did you listen to your teacher today?
No.
No, you did not. Is that why you're in the shower?
Yeah.
You are in the shower because you made bad choices.
And because your mom enjoys torturing you, and because your mother was tortured like this when she was a child, and because she's basically upset and angry that she adopted a Russian kid, and she needs a kid to take it all out on, and she wouldn't do this to her own blood children, and she's got a kind of a stupid cop for a husband who sort of figures she's a really good mom, and he just lets her do whatever she wants, and he will not have anybody speak to her, you know, about his wife that way. She's just a really great lady. And she has relatives in Utah, and they think she's so fantastic. But in point of fact, she's a little bit miserable with herself and probably a little bit miserable with her life. And she needs someone to beat up on, somebody to lord it over, someone to abuse, because that was what happened to her. And this is a little Russian kid, and Russians, you know what they are, they're one step up from animals, and so she really needs to discipline that kid. And then she's going to go on Dr. Phil, and then she can tell her friend she was on Dr. Phil in case they missed it, and she'll get tapes of her being on Dr. Phil, and she'll show those tapes of her being on Dr. Phil to the friends that didn't want to see it in the first place. Oh, God. Oh!
Man.
I can't stand these people, you know, and they all got their newfangled... Yes, you know, Dr. Phil, I just don't know what to do. You know, this guy, Dr. Phil, I'd like to get on his show and just stand up and urinate.
Urinate, man? I'd put you in a nut house.
That's what I would do. I would stand up. Dr. Phil, I'd be like that guy in Dances with Wolves. Remember that captain who goes, I peed in my pants and you can't do anything about it. All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. God. I'm going to give you a cold shower, bud, because you pulled three cards. Yeah, you farted.
Phil Hendry.
That's it. You farted three times.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, so I didn't even finish this, and I don't know how much of this I want to read, but I'll get serious here for just a minute. This woman, this Beagley, all right, you heard what she was doing with the kid to discipline him, and this videotape went out, and it went around the world on the internet, and people, called the police, and she got charged with this, and she has, with child abuse, and she has pled not guilty. And the other question that I had that hasn't been answered yet is, what was Dr. Phil doing other than sitting there looking smart and acting dumb?
Well, what's he supposed to do?
Well, I don't know. He's a doctor. And doctors are, among other things, informed of, or should be informed of the legal procedures if they suspect that there is any kind of abuse going on. Maybe he didn't think there was. I don't know. You know.
That probably, man, he thought that was okay.
I mean, if he called the cops on that woman, there wouldn't be another, he would never have another Dr. Phil show as long as he lived.
Why?
Because nobody would trust going on his show anymore. I ain't going on Dr. Phil. I'll get turned into the cops. So, moving on to the second part of this, the family members who live in Utah say the media is not giving out the whole story. They didn't discuss the challenges the child is going through and the problems that they have had on getting him to this point. What point is that? Where you're now sticking hot sauce down his throat? They just focus on the punishment. Well, the challenge is they adopted this child out of Russia. Okay? What about the challenges this child is going through? Not the challenge. It says that they didn't discuss the challenges the child's going through. I think they're talking about the challenges the parents went through. They just focus on the punishment, said Beagley's sister-in-law, Cheryl, who doesn't want her last name given out because she says she's being harassed by the media trying to get in touch with her brother. Her last name's Beagley. Now, I'm kidding. I don't know what her last name is. Cheryl said, wait a minute, trying to get in touch with her brother. Who is Cheryl? Oh, the sister-in-law. Well, this woman's name is Beagley, so therefore, oh, yeah, okay. Wait a minute.
If her name's Beagley, then the brother's name is Beagley.
Yeah, the brother named Beagley, then that shall be Beagley.
You guys just like saying that name, don't you?
Beagley.
No, her husband's name would probably be something else.
Well, that's right, yeah.
So, her husband's last name could be entirely different, but this Cheryl Beagley, who is married to the cop. All right, anyway, Cheryl said the 7-year-old was adopted from Russia along with his twin. But since the twin didn't behave well, they just tossed the twin out of the car and kept the other. No, I'm kidding. She said the child tries to control his brother, won't conform to family rules, and constantly lies. Well, maybe your family rules are up the butt there, Ms. Beagley. But she said the media hadn't focused on that at all. The media hasn't focused enough on the things you're going through there, Ms. Beagley, has it? The media hasn't focused on the terrible, terrible thing. He's lying, and he's trying to control his brother. Well, brothers don't do that, do they? And he won't conform to the family rules. Like, what family rules? That you all walk around on your knees 3 hours a day? That you pull the wings off of butterflies?
Well, that's not fair, man. You don't know.
No, you're right. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with this nut family. I feel bad for the kid. I'm telling you right now. I got no sympathy for this one. I saw a thing on TV. I'm telling you right now. I got to get this off my chest. I thought I was going to bawl. A fire. You know, this is a very famous fire. And Jason, you can look it up, man. It was a horrible fire that took place in Massachusetts that took the lives of a great many firefighters. It was a terrible fire. And I know many of you people who live in the area, you know the one I'm talking about. It was in a cold storage building, no windows. Two homeless people had set a fire for warmth or cooking, and it wound up, this fire wound up, it was the Worcester Cold Storage Fire in 1999. Just a terrible, terrible tragedy. And a number of firefighters died. It grew to a 5-alarm fire. It raged for 6 days. 6 days. Before being brought under control, they had companies coming in from the city, from neighboring towns. They had 6 Worcester firefighters die. And it was set by 2 people who were mentally disabled. They brought these people into the courtroom and initially charged them with, I believe, a manslaughter charge. And they eventually dropped the charges because they realized, you know what? And even the firefighters, the surviving firefighters, the fire company, and the community, nobody really wanted to charge these people. I mean, there wasn't any satisfaction in that. There wasn't any real anything in that. These 2 people who were just stumbling through life, you know? And the part of it that just killed me, after watching all of this, because then you see, well, the families are moving on, the fire company is moving on, and the town is pulling together. But then I just, a woman and her husband are watching the news in Maine, and they see one of these 2 mentally disabled. It's a young lady. I guess she's in her late teens. One of these 2 people, one was a man, the other was a young lady. The man was in his 30s, she's 19. And they said, my God, she looks an awful lot like our daughter. And they realized that they had adopted their daughter. She was a twin. And the thing that got to me, and I maybe this just makes me strange, is that this one child was adopted into this family, this loving, beautiful family, and the other child was sort of set adrift. And you see this girl standing there in a courtroom, 19 years of age, totally disheveled. Her name was Julianne Barnes. And she's a pretty girl, but she had nobody. She had nothing. She had nothing, man. I mean, she was just one of life's casualties, you know, and they set a fire. They didn't mean to hurt anybody. They wanted warmth. They wanted to cook some soup. Who knows what they were trying to do? And they the fire is finally out of control. These 2 people apparently watched this fire burn from respective places. One guy was at a friend's, and this young girl had taken refuge with a friend of hers at a hotel and was looking out the window at this raging fire. And so anyway, the family with the twin goes down to Worcester, makes an appeal to the court, and makes an appeal to the state service that would have aegis over this young woman, and they adopted her. They adopted her. And I thought, that's a great thing, man. Now, this has a postscript, because I got so interested in this story. You should have seen me, man. I'm like online and everything.
Yeah.
So I find out about Julianne Barnes. Julianne Barnes now is in her late 20s, was raised, obviously, with this family, a good family, a beautiful family, and her sister, I think, was a little bit, the twin that was raised without her, is a little bit more disabled than she is. But she met a guy, and they got married, and now she's ostracized from this family. And the family apparently wants more contact with her, and she doesn't want to have contact with them. The family wants to have a little more to say, because I think both of these kids who are mentally disabled, they're married, and they're going to have a baby. So, but she doesn't want them in her life. And I began thinking about this. And, you can say whatever you want. But when you've been kicked around and you've been eaten out of garbage cans and you've been barely making your way in life and you've survived for 19 years without any shred of help from anybody, and I don't know when I say, I don't know, but this child, this woman was 19, living on the street. And all of a sudden, people swoop in and want to save your ass, you know.
Yeah, they're trying to tell you what to do.
Yeah, and then they start telling you what to do. Now, yes, you should be grateful. And yes, you should recognize how miraculous this is. Here's your sister, and here are these people that have come out of nowhere to save me from this hell that I was living. But I got a life I got to live, and they weren't there when I was, you know, 15 years old being raped or being turned out or using drugs. No parents, no nothing. They weren't there. I had to do what I had to do. And, you know, you learn some things, and sometimes you learn what you want and what you don't want. And as good as those people were that adopted her, that's the one thing when I read the story, I thought, well, they don't recognize that. They don't recognize that this girl, she's mentally disabled, but she's not so disabled that she can't be married and she can't have kids. And this is the life that she wants to have. And it's about time that she has it, because God knows, man, a decision was made a long time ago that her sister and her would be separated. And her sister would go off to live in a beautiful home with a beautiful family with love and food and an education. And this child is turned out into the streets. And, I mean, that just broke my heart, man. I mean, it just killed me, you know.
Well, they make them adopt twins, you know.
I don't know what the law says, but I'll tell you, I would, if it was up to me, I wouldn't let people adopt. I wouldn't let them separate twins. No way. No way. No. Adopt them, both of them, or forget it?
Yeah, but then they'd never adopt anybody. They probably don't want to take two.
Well, I'm telling you, this killed me to see what happened to this kid. But I was happy to see that she decided, well, you know what, I'm going to live my life. And I don't know what, you know, if that's the whole story, and I'm sure everybody's got their opinion, you know, and but it's the King family. And the King family said they couldn't take on two kids with special needs, and Julie was left behind in foster care. God, that just kills me. Yeah, I know you couldn't take on two kids with special needs. So then don't take on, just don't split up those girls. Don't split those twins up. And you look at the two girls, they're identical. They're both pretty. But one lived in this home and had a school and had medical care and all of the great things you have. And the other one, what's she doing? Squatting in an abandoned building, trying to heat some soup. And the next thing you know, a fire that takes the lives of six men. It's horrifying. Anyway, I didn't mean to bum you out or anything.
That's pretty sad.
I know. And I just put a bummer on the whole show. But I mean, I couldn't, you know.
Don't do it again, man.
Oh, get out of here. Don't do it again. That's what this hot sauce mom made me think about. Her and her adopted Russian kid. What the hell do you... What are you doing, lady? You know, this is America. This is the United States of America. This isn't czarist Russia. This isn't the communist gulag. This isn't some God knows what. Over here, man, we got some love going on. You know, we got good stuff, man. Don't take some little kid out of an orphanage and torture the kid.
You think Julianne Barnes on Twitter? I'm going to go find her.
Well, I don't... What do you mean, Twitter? I'm going to smack you, too. I don't know. Is she on Twitter?
I'll look for her, man. I'm going to find out that Russian kid on Twitter, too, and talk some smack about his old lady.
Yeah, that little Russian boy ought to be on Twitter. We can send him messages and stuff.
How to escape.
No, don't do it. All right, we'll be back here. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Super Bowl tickets on sale. $5,000 and they're yours. Yeah.
Listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
What are you talking about, man?
Man, what are you guys doing?
We're talking about twins that ought have been broken up.
Yeah, dude, like if you could think about a twin, it should have been busted up. Like those little girls should not have been busted up.
Right. I don't think any twins should be broken. You know what Rance just told me when he was. Welcome back to the show, guys. Phil Henry Show. Our website, philhenryshow.com. Rance just told me that when he was working with dogs, adopting dogs and stuff, that they would not split up brother and sister dogs.
What do you mean, like a litter or something?
Well, yeah. I mean, if it was a male-female dog, they would not let you adopt just one. You had to take two. That's what they make you do with dogs. With humans, though, who cares?
What? Are you kidding me? You can't do it with a human being, but you can't do it with a dog. That's the most retarded thing. That's probably the most retarded thing since Julianne Barnes. Now, the other thing...
Will you shut up, man? You're going to make a joke like that?
Yeah, man.
What?
The most retarded thing. What was the thing you wanted to say?
I'm just saying, we're talking about twins that ought to have been split up. And my vote's the Bee Gees.
Yeah.
The Bee Gees? They're not twins. They're not even twins. They're three guys.
Well, no, but they are twins.
How do you figure the Bee Gees are twins?
Look just like each other.
No, they don't look just like each other.
Yeah, they do, man. Look at them. They all grin the same way. They got the big grin. And they all got, like, the teeth are too big.
Yeah. And the one guy, the only difference is one guy has got a space between his teeth.
Oh, I see. So these cats are twins.
Well, triplets.
They ain't triplets.
Are you sure?
Yeah, look, at I'd be willing to bet you they're not triplets. The Bee Gees are triplets. The Bee Gees are triplets.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, you do that, man.
Okay, my vote was they should have busted up, I don't know if they're triplets, Donnie and Marie Osmond. Are they triplets?
Donnie and Marie Osmond. How many of them are there?
Two.
Would they be triplets?
Probably not.
Yeah, I guess not.
Yeah, huh? And they should have been split up. I don't even think they're twins. So I think you guys are 0 for 2 on this one.
You're kidding me, man. But look at Donnie and Marie Osmond. If they ain't twins, then what's life for? You know,
if Donnie and Marie Osmond aren't twins, what's life for?
You tell me they're not twins.
I'm telling you right now, I don't think they're twins. I think one's older than the other one. I don't know. Okay? And as far as the Bee Gees being triplets, Super Bowl tickets averaging almost $5,000 here. This just in from Rance. Oh, he's giving me the white stripes. Oh, yeah, the Jack White and his sister Jezebel, or whatever the hell her name is.
Yep.
Well, what about them?
Yeah, they should have been split up.
you're a sick bastard. Now, the White Stripes were a brother-sister group. Now, they just broke up. In fact, is this today's Washington Post? The White Stripes announced that they have broken up, and this announcement was on their website today, actually Wednesday. The split, the band said, was not due to artistic differences, but mostly to preserve what is beautiful and special about the band and have it stay that way. It makes sense that the White Stripes would announce their end suddenly and without fanfare. The duo of Jack and Meg became one of the world's most popular bands. Perhaps no current American act boasted a better combination of critical acclaim and box office power by being rock stars who adhered to their own rules. The band could have cashed in on a farewell tour or simply soldiered on, headlining festivals and playing its blues garage rock scorchers. But then they'd have to read articles like this about them, and that they could not bear any longer. Thank you very deeply. It's been nice. My name, Dave Mollets of the Washington Post. I now go to kill myself. Now, he didn't write that, but, you know, I could probably read you the best, the rest.
Do you think they're twins?
I don't know if they're twins, man. Do you know what a twin is? We're talking about twins, not just two people that look alike. So anyway, the White Stripes have broken up. The band became less active in recent years as Jack performed with various side projects, the Rockin' Tours, the Dead Weather, focused on his Third Man Records label, and basically abandoned his sister for more glory and fame elsewhere, while his poor sister Emma sat there beating on the drums and wondering, you know, why she's alive. And also, he became sort of a fairy godfather for such veteran acts as country star Loretta Lynn and rockabilly queen Wanda Jackson, producing their comeback albums, introducing them to a new generation, but making most of the money off each project.
All right.
It doesn't say that.
What do you want to bet, though, that that's the truth?
Man, you're not bad. You think Jack White is some kind of lying, thieving, no good, stumbling, muttering?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, that's what I think. I don't know him. He's probably a nice guy, but I think I'll just have a bad opinion of him. They were married. They posed as siblings.
What?
They were not brother and sister.
No, they were brother and sister, and they had incest. Man.
No, man. Don't go there.
No, that's what happened.
No, don't go there. All right, finally, Super Bowl tickets. 4 days before the Super Bowl between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Green Bay Packers, we have picked here on the Phil Hendry Show, our official pick, Steelers win. Tickets to the game are being resold for an average of $4,683, almost twice as much as a year ago. The popularity and history of the teams has helped drive up ticket demand and prices in the National Football League Championship, scheduled for February 6th at Cowboy Stadium in Arlington, Texas. The Packers and Steelers have 9 Super Bowl titles between them, or we can put it this way, the Steelers have 6, the Packers have 3. And they have ranked 3rd and 4th in 2010 Harris Interactive poll to the most popular NFL franchises. The cheapest Super Bowl tickets available are $2,309, according to FanSnap. These are all scalped. What's the face value on these things, man? That's what I want to know. What is the here we go. When the first Super Bowl, tickets to the championship game have a face value ranging from $600 to $1,200. So the $1,200 seats are obviously the 50-yard line seats. And those are going for, one, two, three, they're going 4 times face value.
That's a lot of money, but you got to figure that's the way it's going to be.
That is the way it's going to be. The very first Super Bowl, 44 years ago, the highest ticket price was $12. And just to give you some basic idea what that means, you could go to a concert, that was 1967, you could go to a concert and see 4 bands for like $1.50, $2. So $12. You know,
you can live on $12 for a whole week and stuff.
Right. World famous Phil Henry Show, produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Rick Johnson, and our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. Get your backstage pass. Visit our merchandise store for our shot glasses coming soon.
Phil Henry.